Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of the Legends Vodcast here on Eurosport. And today I am joined by two epic figures in the game of tennis that have buildings and grounds named after them. A sneaker is named after one. So first, Billie Jean King is with me. Billie Jean, thank you so much for joining us here on Eurosport. I'm going to come back and ask you how you are. Stan Smith, an old friend of mine, is also on the line. So Stan, thank you. I know, Billie Jean, you are in New York at the US Open. Just tell us, how is the feeling for you being there with under the circumstances?
It's very difficult because we can't go and watch. You know, it's just, 6 or 7 miles away, and we can't watch. So we're watching a lot on television when we can, when we're not working. But it's different. It's really different. And it's I've been going there since I was 15, in 1959. So you can imagine it's a shock to my system. But more importantly, you know, we've really done a good job with COVID. You know, the Governor Cuomo has done a wonderful job. We're like at 0.24 now. We have to stay under one or else we'd go back to shutdown. So everyone's out, but everyone's wearing masks. It's just surreal, really.
Stan, you are down in Hilton Head. You have your own tennis academy. How are things there? Are they sort of coming back to normal when it comes to business?
I think that we're trying to do everything to keep the kids apart as much as possible and not going to the gym inside, other than that, it's working out pretty well. It's amazing.
You too. Always promoting the game of tennis that I'm assuming you guys are both very thankful to the game that given you guys that platform that you have used. Billie Jean, you won 12 Grand Slam singles titles. You won 39 total slam titles, former world number one. When we talk about your merits, what comes first to you? Is it wins? Is it world number one? Is it the fight for equality? Is it the match against Bobby Ricks? What are you most proud of?
I think about many things, Matt, but the two things that I love, is I grew up in team sport. So everything with me is team, like Fed Cup, world team tennis, mixed doubles, it's all about relationships. And of course, to be able to create a platform to compete, to play, and of course now using our platform in sports to help positive change.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Stan, with you, you won a couple of majors. You're a former world number one. I saw you won 7 Davis Cup titles. So for you, I'm assuming the team situation, we're because of Black Lives Matter and the fight for equality in sports in general, where it's racial or the origin of sex. Stan, you ran into Arthur Ashe, and I know you did too, Billie Jean, but Arthur Ashe was part of the Davis Cup team that you were on, Stan, in the late 60s, 1968, I believe. And Arthur was the first black man to be part of the Davis Cup team. How did that come about? How did that feel for you? Because how did we know back then what was right and what was wrong?
Arthur grew up in Richmond, and his father was a policeman, and he really respected, he was taught to respect other people, and he was expected to be respected as well. And we had some unfortunate situations over the years where you know, like in Houston, he wasn't able to go into the men's locker room. He had to go into the junior locker room when we played the tournament there. And as we traveled around the world, you know, sometimes he was asked to do other things and go someplace else. And so, you know, Arthur was a close friend. I know Billie Jean was close to him as well. But when we played Davis Cup together. We started a business together with Charlie Passerell and Donald Dell and Bob Lutz. And so we spent a lot of time together. One of the great things that USTA has done is that they named the stadium after Arthur and named the facility after Billie Jean. You know, they could have done it after, you know, some company and made a lot of money, but they chose both Billie and Arthur to do that. So I was really excited to see that happen. And Billie's done so much for the game. And it is important. The team aspect is great. Playing with Arthur in Davis Cup, that was nerve-wracking to play. You know, you're really thinking about your guys on the team more than anybody else. And then I played under Arthur. Arthur was a captain when John McEnroe and Vitas were on the team, and we played as he was a captain. So we spent a lot of time together, you know, traveling. We went to Africa. We went to 6 different countries in Africa together. And I was in the minority in all those different locations. And it was... It opened my eyes, and certainly being around Arthur was great, because he was a great leader. He really felt strongly about racial equality. It should be respect for everyone in what they do, whether men or women, or you know, what country they live in, or what kind of economic situation they're in. And I was taught to respect a guy who was cleaning the locker room, who was the president of the United States, who was serving us, and the woman that was doing that. You know, it's everyone really should be respected.
Billie Jean, stay in touch a little bit on Arthur. For you, the fight for equality, was that something you had in you as you became a tennis player, or did that grow, make you grow as a person because of tennis?
As an 11-year-old, when I discovered tennis, thanks to Susan Williams in fifth grade saying, "Do you want to play tennis?" I go, "What's tennis?" I didn't have a clue. I played basketball. I was playing all team sports. And so I said, "Okay, I'll try it with you." We went to a country club because her father was quite wealthy. And I thought, "Well, this is very nice, but there's no way I'll ever get to play." We're also on a softball team. And she says to the coach, "Oh, I took Billie out to play tennis." And Val Halloran, the coach, goes, "Well, they have free instruction here every Tuesday." Whoa, now we're talking. So I go out to Houghton Park with Clyde Walker, my first coach. And at the end of that first time, it was the second time I picked up a racket, I knew what I wanted for my life. I want to be the number one tennis player, you know, woman player in the world. And I told my parents, and I was saying, "That's fine." They didn't get it. And I started playing. So fast forward to 13. Now I've been playing some sanctioned tournaments. I started that when I was 12. And Stan knows this. It's the Los Angeles Tennis Club. That was our mecca of our sport in Southern California. It probably still is. So I was going out there, and I started daydreaming at 13. And I started realizing that everyone wore white shoes, white socks, white clothes, played with white balls, and everybody who played was white. And I asked myself, where is everybody else? Where is everybody else? And so I promised myself that day that I would be a champion of equality the rest of my life. And I was praying that I could be number one, because maybe they'll listen to me. I knew as a girl already I was not going to be as influential as easily, but I knew it was going to be a long haul, and I didn't know if anything would ever happen, but it did, slowly but surely. But it was tough. I mean, it's been a tough road.
But let me take you to Wimbledon here. Wimbledon, obviously 1975, you, Billie Jean, and Arthur Ashe won the title at the same time. Remember, Arthur Ashe was wearing the USA Davis Cup jacket. Stan, to you, the ATP had just been formed, and Arthur Ashe was was a leader in there. So were you. How did that come about? And again, Arthur, did you always feel that he had these leader qualities, or did he build up his confidence from winning tennis tournaments?
Well, Arthur was a leader. He was a very calm leader. He was logical. He didn't lose his cool. He did a few times. He played Nastasi one time in a tournament. Nastasi acted like an idiot.
Who wouldn't?
Literally walked off the court. But
Billy, I saw that match in Stockholm.
Billy won Wimbledon again. Yeah. Yeah, in Stockholm. Billy won Wimbledon again when I won Wimbledon. And so, you know, we were there together too. But when Arthur was, you know, he was a thoughtful player. You know, he upset Jimmy Connors by, you know, using his head rather than his power, which was interesting because he had two different careers. In my opinion, he had a career where he just hit the ball as hard as he could and kind of no brainers. And then he became a very thoughtful player and worked on his physical strength as well. And so he the last half of his career, he was a thinker on the court rather than just a basher. So that was interesting.
But so being a tennis player, what is it that we are hoping our kids learn from tennis? Is it humility? Is it respecting your surroundings? What do you think, Billie Jean, is something that you learned from the game of tennis or that you've learned?
I learned it from sports, really, and tennis. But it's about, first of all, always respect. My dad always said, and I totally agreed with him, always respect your opponent, no matter if you like them. And I thought that was great. Always respect every human being, as Stan was talking about. Always be kind and good. Always try to do the best you can. But not just think about yourself. Think about others. You know, how are they doing? But Stan's correct. It's about respecting every human being, no matter where they come from or who they are, or what culture, what religion, what sexuality, whatever. It's really about respect. And you learn that in sports. And tennis is a great sport for that, because that's why we shake hands at the end, you know, over the net. It's being out there, being by yourself or on a team. Tennis has an advantage that I think we've never, ever explored enough. Tennis is a team sport and an individual sport. And I think most children want to be on a team. They don't want to play against their friends. They want to be with their friends. And I think that's the way to grow the grassroots. I still think we should get children in team as they start. And they'll find their way if they want to be a crazy like Stan and me and they want to be, you know, Wimbledon champions or U.S. Open champions. Believe me, it'll happen because it's there. There's nothing like, obviously, that, you know, people winning big by themselves. But it doesn't have the same cachet that winning has with somebody else. And so tennis and sports teach you to be resilient, respectful, always, you know, be able to bounce back. And also it teaches you leadership. It really does teach you leadership. And followers choose leaders. Leaders do not choose followers. So I'm sure Arthur was pushed into his leadership positions, as I was. The other players always would push me forward. I'd say, no, you do it. And they go, oh, no, we want you to do it. Well, eventually you either accept that role and really go for it, or you don't. But I did. And if I hadn't had the players with me, like in the original nine, they don't get enough. They never get enough accolades. I always seem to be the one, and it's not right. It took nine of us. It was a very difficult time because they had less and less tournaments for us, for the women. In 1968, we started getting paid. We got paid a lot less. But what was really, really happening, really was horrible, is we were getting rid of tournaments. So we didn't have any place to compete. So the nine of us, when we signed a $1 contract with Gladys. Here's the three things. These are the three things that we thought about because we knew we wouldn't make the big bucks. I told the players, if you expect applause, big money, or whatever, don't do this. It's going to be a thing. Just do it because you want to for the future generations. And here's the three things. And the WTA also uses these three things. Any girl born in the world, any place in the world, if she's good enough, would finally have a place to compete. Compete, not play, compete. Number two, that we'd be appreciated for our accomplishments and not only our looks, because everything was about our looks in the old days. Yeah. Number three, to be able to make a living. And we were able to do that thanks to Gladys Hellman and to Joe Cullman at Philip Morris. Those three elements were in alignment. You know, we got very, very fortunate. The stars were in alignment. And this is the only reason I can talk to you today. But because of that effort, we do have a platform. That's the reason Osaka can speak out right now. She's the one everybody's looking to. But any tennis player has an opportunity because of the things that Stan did in 72 with the ATP. You know, I always wanted us to be at one organization in the 60s. We got rejected. We kept getting rejected. It's the only reason we did what we did. It was last resort.
Yeah, no, I mean, professional female tennis players are, I think, on average, the most highly paid of any professional female athlete.
We're number one.
Incredible. You're number one. That's an incredible.
We're number one. And Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine listed the. It doesn't mean it's great. We have a long way to go. But the top 10 winning women athletes last year in monies off the court were all tennis players. This year we were 9 out of 10. They got soccer player got number 10. So we've always been the leaders in women's sports. We are the leaders in women's sports, period.
Yeah, Osaka's the highest paid, isn't she?
Osaka was number one, and then Serena came out number two this year.
Let me ask you before I'm going to let you guys go. I know you have a busy life still, which is appreciated of all of us who came after you guys, because without you paving the way for us, I would never have been able to make a living in playing tennis.
I think tennis is unbelievable sport. I mean, I've played so many sports my whole life. There's nothing like tennis. There's nothing like running and hitting that ball. And I stayed up until 2:30, I think, in the morning, calling your match against Lindell at the U.S. Open, Mox. I think Cliff Drysdale and I were going. We were going back to London, and that match I will never ever forget as long as I live. That was one of the greatest matches I've ever watched in my life. You were amazing. I just want to put that in because I don't know if people realize how great you are and how much you've won. I mean, you've won 6, I think, Grand Slams, and not many guys have. I think you're one of 6 guys. So, well done.
Thank you. I was just going to say, you know, you guys have both won Wimbledon, and you said something about being crazy, Billie Jean. I guess I wasn't crazy enough to be able to win Wimbledon then, but you guys did. Thank you, you both. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
We are going to let you go. Billie Jean, thank you so much. And thanks for the inspiration for everything that you do and have done, of course, and will do. And Stan, same thing. It's great to been great to get to know you, Stan. I hope to run into you soon and take your money off the golf course. But thank you so much. And and this show is obviously dedicated to the late, great Arthur Ashe, who's a trailblazer when it comes to equality in the game of tennis and in life in general. So thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful day, and stay safe, and good luck with your next mission, both of you. Thanks, Billie Jean. Thanks, Stan.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for doing this for Arthur. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.